Hallelujah. Go ahead and give him a hand this morning. He's done some real good stuff for me. I don't know about you, but he's done some real good stuff for me, even in the midst of a quote-unquote pandemic. He's done some real good stuff. And he's great. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage everybody this morning. I want to encourage you that, you know, we've been having some awesome Bible studies. I encourage you to get on Bible study and listen to the things that God has given us to talk about. Amen. Because the more we talk about them, the more we understand how much God and how great God really is, how awesome God is. Hallelujah. Awesome God is. Because we can read books, but sometimes there's a word here and there's a word there. And when we come together and understand the word, we get more of a revelation of who God is, how great he is. Amen. I want to thank everybody this morning for following protocol, for calling and leaving your name and how many are coming, and because it gives us a sense of satisfaction knowing that we asked you to follow and you have done that. Amen. Because God is a God of order. Let me just say that. God is a God of order. Everything in this universe is in order. Hallelujah. He's not a God of chaos. He is a God of order. So when we understand and we follow protocol and the commands that God has given us, things work out. And we don't have to worry. All we have to do is worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was sitting over there and I was listening to the praise and worship leader sing this morning. And I, you know, this whole week, there's songs that just have been coming up in my spirit. The other day on Bible study, the song Farther Along came to me. And I started thinking about the old days when they used to sing that song, Farther Along. Then I start thinking this morning as the praise and worship started singing, this song that they used to sing, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. He didn't say he was going down, but he was still going up. It might have been rough, but he was still going up. And I want to know this morning, no matter how rough it gets, keep going up. Hallelujah. I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. Amen. You know, sometimes when you're going through some rough things and some tough times and you're going up that mountain, you know, you still need to seek the Lord's face. Amen. Because maybe God doesn't want you to go up the rough side. Maybe sometimes he wants you to go around the side. Maybe sometimes he wants you to go right through it. But make sure you're listening to God. Hallelujah. There's always an alternative. You know, God is a God of choice. So don't do things just because you believe in your heart and your mind that God said do it. Because if he said it, he'll tell you. Sometimes we say things that we think that somebody said, and we got it wrong. Amen? If I give a sentence to the first person here, by the time it gets over here, what I said is completely different. Amen? So don't listen to everything that you say. Listen to what God says. Amen? Hallelujah. Some of those ways that we like to go, they might not be as advantageous to us in the long run. But in the short term, it looks very advantageous. And if you don't find that word in the dictionary, I found that word out from my son. Amen. Because I was trying to feel him out about what he's going to do with his life. And he said, it's very advantageous living here.
I said, what?
He said, it is very advantageous living here. I said, okay. So I use that word now because it has a prolific meaning to me. Advantageous. So what I want to say to you this morning, it is very advantageous listening to the voice of the Lord. Amen. Don't use what you think is an advantage. It is advantageous when you listen to the voice of the Lord. So my message to you this morning is this. Do you have an excuse? Do you have an excuse? We are all born excuse makers. We have been that way since the beginning of time. Adam blamed both Eve and God for his fall into sin. And ever since Adam did that, all of his descendants followed his example by blaming someone else when things go wrong. Amen? When Adam and Eve fell into sin, Adam said, well, God, you made her for me. You sent her to me. If she wasn't here, I wouldn't have done that. Amen? So ever since Adam said that, we have been excuse makers. We tend to follow patterns of our elders, people over us, our mothers, our fathers, even sometimes our sisters and our brothers. Amen? While some of the excuses that we make might be perfectly legitimate, it should be recognized that the development of habit making excuses is very dangerous. I realize that, when people lie, the more they lie, the easier it gets the next time for them to lie. We've heard that before, right? Well, the more times you make excuses, the easier it is to make excuses. Now, I'm going to go on and say that most of the excuses that we hear contain an element of dishonesty. Now, some of you looking at me like you don't believe me, but I'm going to prove it to you right now. Has somebody ever given you an excuse and you did like this? Huh? Every time somebody gives you an excuse, you don't just say, yeah, okay, I understand. There are excuses that you are given, and the moment that is given to you, your huh and the turn of your head questions the validity of that excuse. So if we develop the habit of making excuses, we rob ourselves of the habit of correcting our mistakes. Because when we make a mistake, usually we have an excuse why we made the mistake. Amen? Look at Adam. He made a big boo-boo, but his excuse was God and the woman. Amen? But we have to realize that mistakes can lead to failure or success. Making excuses is a form of escapism in which we refuse to accept responsibility for either our actions or our decisions. When you are brought face to face with an opportunity to render some service to God or to be helpful to others, do you instinctively seek an excuse to avoid, postpone, or escape? Do we do that? Because every day, all the time, in each and every situation, we come to situations where we have an opportunity to render some service to somebody. You know, most questions require service. These are the type of questions that we kind of run from. Can you help me? Will you tell me? Can you show me? Will you do? They offer an opportunity to render service. And when we are faced with those, we run, we avoid, we postpone, or we escape. And if you get in the habit of making excuses, two things are going to happen. You're going to be comforted, and you're going to be disturbed. Now, I say comforted because when you make that excuse, it sounds good to you. You don't make an excuse that don't sound good to you. You might have made it, and when you make it and it don't sound good to you, know. And then you double back to the person and say, no, I really meant this. But you make an excuse because it sounds good to you. I've never made an excuse that didn't sound good to me. Matter of fact, most of the excuses that I made sounded great to me. Most of the excuses that you make sound great to you. But you can also be comforted by the fact that you are not alone when you make excuses, because we all make excuses. But you should be disturbed when this habit continues and it becomes dangerous, not just to you, but to everybody else around you. Have you ever said, I'm not even going to ask this person to do something because I know what they're going to say? Look at this. I know what they're going to say. I'm not even going to ask them because I know what they're going to say. I know. I know. Our scripture today concerns a man who first traveled the road of making excuses. Our big time prophet Moses constantly offered excuses as to why he was not the proper person to do what God was willing to call him to do. So the question I want to leave with you this morning to start with, are you imitating Moses' example? And it would be wise for us to re-examine all of the excuses that we make and try to understand, are these excuses acceptable to God? They are acceptable to you, but are they acceptable to God? Because on that day, you're not going to meet you. You're going to meet God. Amen? And when we really get honest with ourselves and we know everything that we have to do, are they acceptable to us personally when we really sit down and give it serious thought? And then again, outside of yourself, who are they acceptable to? So the scripture I want to focus on today is Exodus, the 3rd chapter, and the 11th verse. And in between, I would be using other verses, but I want you to focus on Exodus 3 and 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? God needed the help of Moses to set his people free. God appeared to Moses on the backside of the desert in a burning bush that burnt with fire but wasn't consumed. When Moses approached, God spoke to him. I want you to think for a second now. Moses saw this bush burning, and his curiosity got the best of him. And so he went to take a look to see what was going on. This bush was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. So then when Moses approached, God spoke to him. The Bible says, then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this moment, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have seen indeed the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. You notice that God said that he was coming. He heard the cries, but that God was coming to rescue them from their oppressors. But when we get to verse 10, it says, so now go. God is telling Moses, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So here in one sense, we heard God saying he's going to go. God is saying, I'm going to take my people. I heard their cry. I'm going down to Egypt. I'm getting them out of there. Amen. That sounds good, doesn't it? And Moses was probably shouting, hallelujah, amen. And then God said, so now you go. Now, I could see Moses saying, didn't he just tell me he was going to do it? So why is he telling me to go? Have you ever been in a situation where God has told you something's going to happen, and then he turns around and tells you to do it? But when he's telling you something's going to happen, you think it's a great idea. But then when he tells you to do it, you want to step back. And then all of the excuses start coming out. Amen? Not only did God declare his intentions of delivering the oppressed, but he also revealed the role that Moses would play in this deliverance. You know, I need to stop right there. You know, sometimes we want people to be delivered, and sometimes we want people that go through deliverance. Hallelujah. But what role are you going to play in their deliverance and for them to be delivered? I'm sure Moses was all for the children of Israel being delivered. But when it came to his participation, he wanted no part. God will not only give a declaration, but he will give revelation. When he tells you what to do, he will tell you how to do it. Amen? When he told Moses, so now go, he was just waiting to see what Moses' response was going to be. Sometimes God is going to tell you to do something, and he's just waiting to see what your response is going to be. Just make sure you're hearing God's voice and you're not following your own leadership. Amen? This is what the revelation that God gave him meant. That the words spoken by God were a self-disclosure to Moses of his name and his status. Remember, Moses started with, who am I? But when God told him what he wanted done and told him who was going to do it, he was giving Moses his name and his status. God sometimes, everybody wants to be bishop, pastor, minister, missionary, elder, deacon, mother, father. Everybody wants a title. Amen? But when God gives you a title, he gives you your status. He gives you your status. But sometimes we follow our own leadership. And we name our own status. This is the God who was. The Lord said, I am. Sometimes you ever have to put somebody in their place? You got to give them your credentials. You got to let them know who you are. Have you ever been that way? Come on. Can I see a hands? You've been that way? I don't see everybody's hand up. I need to see everybody's hand up because I know if you are a mother, if you are a father, if you ever been wronged at the store, if they didn't give you the right change, you know, you let them know who you are. So everybody should be able to identify when I say that God was giving Moses his credentials. He said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses was being assured that this wasn't a God who just came on the scene. Have you ever seen somebody just come on the scene and didn't want to give directions and they don't even know what's going on, but they want to be large and in charge and don't. But he was saying, listen, this is my repertoire. This is who I am. This is just to let you know where I came from. This is my background. Amen? He was the God of Moses' forefathers. He was the one who met all of their needs in the past. God stood by Abraham and rewarded his faithfulness. He had been the companion of Isaac. He had been the helper of Jacob. Hallelujah. I was reading on Jacob earlier this morning, and it was right at the near the end of Jacob where he had Joseph, Jacob was dying, and Joseph was already in Pharaoh's house. And Jacob was dying, and he made Joseph promise him to bury him in a certain place and take him back to where his forefathers was. And this, and Joseph promised, hallelujah. He said, take me back. This is where I want to go. But I kept reading more in that story. And then at the end of that story, after Jacob passed, Isaac's brothers, Jacob's brothers, they was looking at him because they thought he was going to get, Joseph's brothers got back at him because they thought he was going to go after them. And he said, listen, I'm not going after you. He said, because everything you did for my bad, God, turned it around for my good. Hallelujah. Moses wasn't at that point yet. He didn't understand that everything that God was telling him was going to be for his good. And not just his good. When God does something for you, he makes sure that he's blessing other people. So I want to put this little caveat in there. That when God bless you, you can't keep it to yourself. You must bless other people. That's why the Lord says, give and it shall be given unto you. Hallelujah. But if you're stingy with what God hopes, I'm going to stop right there. All Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they had all known adversity. They had all known oppression. And just as he did not fail them, he was reminding Moses, I will not fail you. Sometimes we need to go back and remember the things that God has done for us and realize that although I see this thing in front of me, God is not going to fail you. Amen? But Moses still began to make the excuses. And he says, who am I? See, Moses knew his own limitations. It's always good to know what you can and you can't do. Amen? He knew his limitations. But let me tell you about something about Moses. He was a quick thinker. Amen? See, the Bible doesn't indicate that he had to think long about his excuses. He didn't say, God, can I get back to you later? Can I come back next week? Give me an hour. Keep the fire burning. I'll be right back. Moses came up with excuses like that. You want to know something? I'm trying to tell something to you right now. You know what? If a person is in the habit of making excuses, they can give you an excuse like that. They don't have to think about it. It just rolls right out of their mouth. It just rolls like a liar. It just rolls out of their life, out of their mouth. Moses was an excuse maker. So the excuse just rolled out of his mouth, even though he was speaking to God. Moses had become great. He couldn't talk good, but he was great at making excuses. How about that? He could not talk. His complaint to the Lord, I don't speak good. But that came out, didn't it? I don't see nowhere in the Bible who am I is like that. There's no stuttering in the Bible. He says, who am I? There was no stuttering. Moses evaluated just that quickly his own abilities. And then he provided a list. He didn't just say one thing. He provided a list. You know how somebody really wants to convince you? They give you a whole bunch of qualifications or disqualifications or what we call reasons why you should or you shouldn't do something. Have you ever gone to buy a new car and you sat down? That dealer, that person, that salesperson, they will give you every reason why you should buy that car. Right then, right there, right now. No matter how. Sometimes you just literally got to just be ungodly with them. Because they want to hold on to you until they get that sale. You could say, I don't have no money. They could say, you don't need no money. You could say that payment is too high. They say, but you can do it. And you know what happens? You say, well, you can make an excuse to get out of there. And you do like this. Phew. But you gave them your email address. You gave them your phone number. And every time you turn it around, they're calling you and they're sending you an email reminding you, you know what? I came up with another solution for you. Maybe we could work this out. So instead of you paying for this car for 6 years, go for 8. And sometimes we fall for it. Meanwhile, we don't even know where we're going to be or what's going to be happening in the next 8 years. But you are signing yourself away. Because that salesman was persistent. He was persistent and chasing you down. And trying to wear you down and getting you to change your trend of thought. He makes you believe that he know more about your finances than you do. Moses was offering all of these excuses to God. Moses says, well, you know, I'm really not that knowledgeable about you, God. Moses says, suppose I go to them and I talk to them and I say that the God of your fathers has sent me and they say, well, what's his name? He said, what should I say to them? I am that I am. How great is that? I am that I am. So here's the situation. And I want you to look at this real good now. Because God had an assignment for Moses, he had patience with Moses in explaining to him who he was, his qualifications, and all of that. You get that point? I'm the God of your father, Isaac, Abraham, Jacob. Boom, boom. But he says, when you go to these people and you stand before them and I sent you, you don't have to do all of that. You just tell them, I am, he is. That's all you got to say. That's all. You don't have to say nothing more. And the other words, I'm going to give you. Amen? So Moses, he identified his lack of authority and his prestige. But Moses was forgetting about God as he thought about all of these excuses. I want you to know this morning that sometimes all of the excuses you give that you can't, you're speaking to God. You're not speaking to pastor. Come on, somebody. Think about it. If the Lord tells me and instructs me to say, ask this person to do this and to do that, and you start giving me excuses, there's a reason why the Lord told me to ask you. So when you tell me no, or you tell me this, or you tell me that, you're not talking to me. You're talking to him. Hallelujah. Moses was forgetting that he was talking to God when he was giving all these excuses. But see, Moses was assuming that everything was going to be determined by his own human power, by his own limitations, amen, rather than the power of God. I spoke to my wife. One of the things that we have really, and I'm talking about me now, that I really started doing, is that I know that I really, really, really need to start leaning more and more on the power of God. Now, that's an admission on me. Because there's sometimes I've looked at things around this church, around this neighborhood, around the lives of the people, his sheep, that I want to change. That I wish sometimes I could say, come here. But I can't. But I know by the power of prayer and the power of God, all things are possible. So if you think about the situations today that you want to put a stranglehold on and you can't do it, lean on the power of God. Amen? Moses spoke about the lack of speaking ability, and God said to Moses, pardon. Moses said to God, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servants. I am slow of speech and tongue. He wasn't slow when he said, what do you mean, me? He wasn't slow with that. See, God looks at all of our little intricacies, and he sees all of these things that we do. You know, I pay attention to a lot of things all the time. I look, and I'm always saying, you're so nosy, but I look. If you look, you can see. The Bible says the Lord looks down upon us. He knows every hair on our head. If he knows every hair on our head, don't you think he knows our personalities? I mean, he made us. Amen. So he knows our personalities. He knows the little quirks that we got. So when you say, I can't, he's looking at you like this. Have you ever told somebody to go do something and you know they could do it, and they say, I can't do it? And you look at them. See, God did get angry with Moses. Amen? He did get angry with Moses. Moses provoked the anger of God. Do you know that you can anger the spirit? Moses' excuses was an insult. Our excuses are an insult to the truthfulness of God. Because in every situation or excuse, if God has promised to make you adequate for the task, how can you say you cannot do it? Amen? Moses' excuses were declarations of his lack of faith in the promises of God. When God tells you to do something, you say you can't do it, it is a declaration of your lack of faith. So, here's a caveat. If you always are declarating and declaring that you can't do something and you have a lack of faith, when things happen, how can you put on the shield of faith? Your shield got some holes in it. You can't put on the whole armor of God when you can't put on the shield of faith. And you can't put on the shield of faith if your declarations declare a lack of faith in God. Does that make sense to anybody? Am I talking here? Am I making sense? Is the Lord sending the word down to somebody who's losing faith or have a lack of faith this morning that has a sometimey faith? Faith now, not faith later. Faith is not a now and then. It's a now and forever and always. God was interested. See, God is interested in us. The only reason why God used Moses is because he was interested in him. When God chooses to use you, you should be grateful because he's interested in you. He's looked at you and said, I can use you. You got a talent. You got a gift. You got an ability for the kingdom. Hallelujah. God was angry because this man and his excuses was depriving himself of the opportunity to achieve his divine destiny. Do you know that each and every one of us have a divine destiny? Hallelujah. That God wants us to use us in a mighty, mighty way. That God has something for each and every one of us to do. But every time we come up with one of these excuses, you are denying your divine destiny. Because we're so busy looking at a limited object with ourselves. Amen? You cannot see what God sees. You haven't been where he's already been. He's already wrote the script for you. He's already told you that you can assume greatness if you just trust in him. Amen? Whatever you want, God wants to give you more. Hallelujah. So God was angry with Moses because he was limited in his ability to see. God is not happy with us when we make excuses. We walk around and we walk around in mediocrity and we're happy with it. Hallelujah. Mediocrity. We walk around being happy doing half of what we can do. And I will tell you, I've never been in my life so busy, so pressed with so many things to do. Hallelujah. And God has given me the strength to do it. And I figured out when I was doing all of this studying that I'm not going to complain that I have all of this to do. Because God has given me the ability. Come on, somebody. He's given me the ability to do it. So I should relish in the ability to do what God has given me to do, the assignment. Let me break this down to you. He has given me the assignment to be a husband. That's a big job in itself. He's given me the assignment to be a father. That's a big assignment itself. He has given me the ability, the responsibility to be a granddad. That's a responsibility itself. He has given me the ability to have a house. That's a responsibility itself. He has blessed me with cars, not a car. There was a time that I wanted a car, but I have cars. That's a responsibility in itself. He has blessed me to be a pastor. That's an ability. That's a responsibility in itself, a great responsibility. He has blessed me and given me the responsibility of being a bishop. That is an awesome responsibility in itself. And as I go up, there's the devil continues to attack, not at the same level, but even greater. And now I'm to the point that I expect it. I have a level of expectation that the enemy is going to attack. So I have to be ready so I can put on and walk in the pharmacies of God, that I can put on the full armor of God each and every day, each and every moment. That's why I have to not only pray for my family, but I pray for my church family. I pray for the properties that he's given me stewardship over. Not just my properties that my wife and I have, but the church property as well. 155 Grand Avenue. I spend more time here than I ever spent here before. Because the enemy, he's not doing anything over at 267. He's doing it at 155. And I'm going to say, it's easy walking in, but you don't know what goes into it. I cannot say.
Oh, God. Why'd you give me that responsibility? I told my wife, I don't like mess. I don't like mess. I don't have to deal with mess. I deal with them. I can deal with my own personal mess. You know, let me get real with you. I can deal with my own personal mess. Everybody in here got mess. I got to deal with your mess too. If I don't deal with it now, I'm going to deal with it later. You don't want to tell me now, it'll come out later. There's no, I mean, you're looking at me, but listen, am I not the shepherd of this church? Therefore, I have to take responsibility. Come on, somebody. I got to take responsibility, and I have to put my own selfishness or whatever it is that I might have had before aside. Because God's business ain't got nothing to do with my own personal preferences. Amen? Can you just say this out loud? God's business has nothing to do with my personal preferences. Remember that. See, God wanted to use Moses because, you know what? Moses was designed. Moses was raised up. Moses was uniquely gifted to be able to go to Pharaoh. He knew all the ins and outs of where Pharaoh stayed. He grew up there. So who's more gifted, talented, knowledgeable than to go to the house of Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go? He designed Moses for that. I want you to know, when God has designed you for something, you can't be making excuses, because the more excuses that you make, the angrier God gets at you. Hallelujah. How could God? God wasn't going to stand by and just take anything Moses had to say to him. And Moses kept trying and kept trying until he got to the point that he says, pardon your servant, Lord. See, Moses grudgingly, in modern day terminology, it was like, well, you know that sigh? Take out the garbage. Go get this from the store for me. We got to go to the school today. Kids been bad. You know that sigh? That's the Moses sigh. If nobody else
is going to do it. And I can't seem to get around it. Then I guess I'll go. But see, Moses just faced up to the fact that God wants to use him. Let me say this. You can fight and you can fight and you can fight. When God wants to use you, there's no rest until God uses you. Have you ever, God put something in your spirit and you tossed and you turned because you said no, but you can't rest, you can't sleep. God told you to pray for somebody, be nice to somebody, talk to somebody, and you deny wanting to do it because of your personal preferences. And God just continued to annoy you, touch you, probe you until you do and you accept what he tells you to do. Moses realized that he was powerless in his own strength, but God will provide supernatural means of support for him to do it. I don't know what task God has given you to do. See, because some of the tasks that we have today, we don't even know that it's a supernatural task from God. It's a supernatural responsibility that God has given us. You know how you know it's supernatural? Because you give this, you say this, ain't no way, ain't no how. That I'm ever going to be bothered with that. That I'm ever going to do this, or I'm ever going to do that. And how many times have you said that and you found yourself doing this and doing that? Because the Lord would never ever leave you alone until you did what he told you to do. Never left you alone until you did what he told you to do. Listen, we are a little lower than the angels. Amen? Can I get an amen? But God commands the angels, doesn't he? He has commanded angels. We're a little less than them. Can't God command us? Hallelujah. God told John when he was a prisoner in the island of Patmos. He gave the reassuring words of grace and peace that came from Jesus that described him which is, which was, and which is to come. So, when he said, he who is, he's talking about the present. God is who he is in the present. He which was, he's talking about the God that was before. When he says, he which is to come, he's talking about the future God. So many times we hear God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that helped Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God there today to help you with whatever your situation is. Whatever it is that you have to go through. Whatever your assignment is. What excuse do you have to give God? I've been on this scripture all week long. And if you was on Bible study, you understand that Pastor been talking about Psalms 91 and 11 all week long. I talked to somebody yesterday. I gave them the scripture because it's been part of my heart, part of my mantra. It says, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. So that means whatever happens, whatever your assignment is, wherever you go, whatever you got to do, that God will send his angels surrounding you because he loves you. He's concerned about you. He wouldn't put you out there by yourself. He's behind you, in front, to the side of you. He will command. He didn't say he will ask to get an excuse. When you command, you don't get him no excuses. He says he will tell you what to do, but he will command his angels to protect you. Problems on the job, send that angel down. Protect her on that job. Problems in the house, send that angel down. Protect her in the house. Going to the store, protect her right now. Going to the store.
Coming in. Cover her right now. Coming in. Send that angel down. God protects your going in and your coming out. Don't you know that things can happen in a blink of an eye? The Bible tells us that, right? Somebody blink. Whoop. That's how fast something can happen. But God already knows the blink of the eye. The blink of the eye is a lot of time for God to get it together. The blink of an eye is more than enough time for God to send angels down to protect you. Come on, somebody. He's outside of time. A blink means nothing to God. You don't even know the times that you blink and something was getting ready to happen. But God, come on. But God had a ram in the bush, sent the angels down. Had a ram in the bush, deterred, blocked something from coming your way. Hallelujah. Abraham getting ready to slice Isaac. Had a ram in the bush. You don't even know how many times there was a ram in the bush over your life. Hallelujah. All you know is something happened and something changed. The situation you thought you was in, or something changed. The thing, that very thing that was proclaimed over your life by the enemy, something changed. The danger that you were in, something changed. The job that you thought that you were going to lose, something changed. The illness that the doctor said that you had, something changed. In a blink of an eye. Nobody can explain it but God. What excuse do you have now? I'm asking you. What excuse do you have? Moses says, I'm not perfect, God. God don't want perfect individuals. When you perfect, you too perfect for God. Come on, somebody. You too perfect for God. He can't use perfect people. Because when you're imperfect, and God uses you mightily, you know, and everybody else know, that all the glory goes to Him. But wait. God also uses those that are available. Sometimes we're too busy for God. We can't fit them in our schedule. Hallelujah. You want God to use you. You want God to elevate you. You want to walk around. You want to have a title. You want to have this under your feet. You want to have the house. You want to have the car. But you're too busy for God. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe it's somebody looking at me. Out there somewhere. I don't know. But you're too busy for God. You're too busy. Everything has a priority over God. Everything has a priority over the Creator. Do you remember the time that your children started to become of age, and when you used to ask them to do something, and they tell you, well, I ain't got time for that. I'm on my way here. I'm on my way there. But you remember the time when you asked them, they willfully would do something for you. Amen? And you were so good to them. You blessed them. You made sure that when their day came around, their birthday, holidays, that you took care of them because they were so wonderful. But what you want things from God and you're not wonderful. Because you're too busy for Him. God says, pray for this. Pray for pastor. I'm too busy. I'm on my way to the, I can't say club because y'all better not be clubbing. But I'm on my, I had to shut up myself. Pray for pastor, but I'm on my way to the store.
I'm on my way to work. But you know, on if you say, yes, Lord, on your way to work, you pray for a pastor. You know that little fender bender that you was getting ready to get in, God. Because he says, touch not my anointed. Hallelujah. But see, you're too busy. You got too many things on your mind to be concerned with God. So you really not paying attention to everything going on all around you. You looking at the radio because you want to play WYBC. I know the radio station up here. I've been here long enough. I got a little bit of what's going on. You got to turn it to WYBC. You want to check your phone. You know, you can have it on the dashboard, but you ain't paying attention. Somebody want to give you some dirt about what happened to somebody yesterday, or somebody on the job where you're going to, instead of you taking that time to pray. God uses those people that are available. Amen. You could say, I'm imperfect. God can use me. Yeah, but are you available imperfectly? You have to be imperfect and know that you're imperfect, but you also have to know that you have to be available for God to use you. God can't use people too busy. He needs people never too busy. Can you say that you're never too busy for God? Answer that to yourself. You don't have to tell me. Answer that to yourself, because God calls each and every one of us each and every day to do something. It could even be to bless somebody around you. And you too busy. You might have tremendous ability. You might have the ability. You know, some people can preach and they have the ability and you think that heaven is coming down right now. They do. You feel heaven coming down right now. But then you say, you know, I need you to come and speak to my church. And then they give you a price. Are you preaching? Are you wording, using the word of God for a price? Or to make disciples of all nations? Amen. Too big, too important to speak without the price. I went to speak somewhere and they gave me an envelope and the bishop looked at me with all the ministers around him. He said, count it. I said, for what? He said, no, count it. I said, whatever's here is here. You gave me an opportunity to preach the word of God. That's it. Amen? And he looked at me. He said, you know, everybody ain't that way these days. We got to make sure we give you people a certain number. Listen, the only number I'm worried about is number one. Doing his will. Amen? Doing his will. The same words of God to Moses revealed the intention that Jesus Christ had for his disciples. He commissioned them to witness to the world. Jesus needs the cooperation of his disciples and us today to deliver people from the slavery of sin and the waste of sin. Do you realize that we are all slaves? I'm a slave. Are you a slave? I don't see a lot of hands, but you a slave to something. If you ain't a slave to Jesus, you a slave to Satan. You got to have one or the other. You can't coexist. I see some people riding around with these signs saying coexist. I hope they're talking about people and not Jesus. Because can two walk together unless they agree? We can agree to be peaceful and civil with one another, but when it comes to understanding what the Bible says, I cannot agree with you on that. We can agree to disagree, but we're not going to agree. I don't want people telling me that, oh, we all the same. We not all the same. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, we not the same. We not. I mean, I'm making it clear, if somebody does not believe that Jesus Christ came down, God incarnated as a man, that he died, he was crucified and died on the cross and rose the third day. If you cannot agree with me on that, we don't agree. Come on. The devil these days is smoothing it out, making it real easy and simple for people to say, yeah, we the same. No, we not. I don't want to be argumentative, and I won't. Because either you is or you ain't in agreement with me. It's nothing to argue about. I just don't want to see you on your way down. Because I'm praying to continue going up. We go in two opposite directions. You ever go two opposite directions from somebody? You went this way, they went that way. If you develop the habit of making excuses, you're always going to find an excuse to say no to God. That's my point today. If you're always finding excuses, you're going to find an excuse to say no to God. And you'll be able to say that excuse before you even think about it, because you have that habit. You know what a habit is? It's something that you do without even thinking of it. It's something you do that is out of control. It's something that you do that you have no control over. Amen? Do you want me to break it down to you? You want me to break it down to you? Some say yes, some say no. No, somebody says nothing. I'm going to break it down to you. You know a little child? They got a couple of words they say in the beginning of their vocabulary. Dada, mama, and then no. And everything you ask them, no. 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 Until they realize what it is, then they say yes. You could say, do you want some ice cream? No. Then it's like, ah, ha, 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 ha. But hey, they have developed the habit of saying no. So I'm saying to you, if you develop the habit of saying no and the habit of making excuses and saying no to God, you're going to say no before you even think of it. And God could be ready to bless you, but you're so used to giving an excuse and the blessing is going to somebody else. Because he don't have to give it to you, he'll give it to somebody else. I'm making a decree and a declaration right now that all the blessings that you say no to, he can give them to me. Because when he wants to give, he wants to give. And if you don't want to, I certainly do. I can use blessings. I don't deny them. So if you don't want them, you could say no and you could tell them, send them my way. I will give you my address. I'll give you my email. I won't give you my bank account number, but I will give my credit card number. But I'll give you all the other information you need to give God. You can call my name. Say my name. Send it to Bishop. Well, I don't want it. Send it to Bishop. Let Brother Boone have it. I'll take it. And when you start complaining that the Lord is not blessing you and you was waiting for God to bless you with that, I'm going to look at you like you don't say. I mean, it's. I'm making it sound funny, but it's real. It's real. God was angry because he wanted Moses. He knew the greatness of Moses had in him. God knows the greatness that you have in you. If you know that God is going to use you mightily, say yes. even if you don't understand it, say yes. When God moves you and speaks to you and anoints you and comes through your spirit, you say yes. You don't have to know the hows, the ifs, the buts, and the whys. The questions that we ask of God all the time. Have you ever wanted to bless somebody or give somebody something and they ask you so many questions, you just don't want to do it no more? You just don't want to do it. Stop asking God all of these questions. Know that He has your best interest. Come on, somebody. Can we give the Lord a hand right now? Know that He has your best interests at hand. We need to be honest with God and with ourselves and others. See, God already knows us. You don't have to be honest with Him, but He's just waiting for you to see if you're going to be honest with Him. Amen? Because when you get honest with God, you can get honest with yourself. And then you can get honest with others. It's time to cooperate with the Lord. When God calls us to help in a mission, we should not think of ways out of service, out of His service. Amen? But just go on and do what He's asked you to do. Let's face our responsibilities and quit blaming others for our failures. It's time to stop living under a list of excuses. Some of us have so many excuses, we could write a book of excuses. You know, you can have an index. And then you can have a reference page where that excuse starts. It's time to stop coming up with all of these excuses. The heart of the message today is, what do you have to offer God? What do you have to offer Him today? The focus of the majesty of the Almighty, the all-powerful God, who could use whatever you have if you give it to Him. He ain't looking for perfect people. He's looking for people He can shape, that He can form. The potter is looking for clay, individuals He can mold. And sometimes He will break the clay and remold it again. Have you made that commitment to God today? Or are you still living in excuses? Does God have all of you? Did you give God all you have? Imagine if God has done some great things in your life. And I can say for each and every one of us here, God has done some great things for us in our lives. But just imagine. Go ahead, give Him a hand. Go ahead, give Him a hand. Imagine what God could do with all you have. You've given Him a little, and He's given you a lot. Just imagine if you gave it all, how much God can do with you. Amen? We need to give it all over to Him today. Amen. Let us stand.